how about that? You look up to the heavens and you see that there's blue and some sun up there today. And we are 24 hours away or 24 hours into not having a football coach for the Cleveland Browns. That's where we sit today. My name is Andy Baskin. His name is Jeff Phelps. Good morning, Jeff.
Oh, we have a lot of coaches. They just don't run the show yet.
A lot of people waiting to see if they have a job. Is that what it is?
I would think so.
I would think I'd be on needles and pins if I was an assistant coach, especially the longer
they wait. But that's the life they signed up for.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think those guys know it. They all know. They're just waiting to find out what their fate is, and we will find out. But I do believe there's one coach that could probably keep a lot of the guys around here if they decide to keep him. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Again, he's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Dan Menigan is here. Hello, Dan. So you've had 24 hours to digest this. By the way, hello to all of our friends now watching on YouTube. Appreciate it. Got a lot of good feedback about that yesterday. You're 24 hours in. How do you feel now? What do you think?
I feel exactly the same way I felt weeks before this.
And that is?
I would have kept Kevin. I would have kept Andrew Berry. And if I wasn't going to keep one or the other, I would have gotten rid of both of them. Basically what Ken said. The same thing I've been saying for weeks. We just heard Ken in a promo.
Yeah.
I would have been both or neither. And I would have given him another year. I would have given Kevin another year.
And the fan base today would be what if they gave him another year? I think the fan base today.
Fed up.
I don't know, Jeff. I think there. So a lot of the fan base
people
would be
love
like,
the last two games.
I get it. I understand it. You know, maybe it much like Eric Mangini. In his last four games, where it was a different front office at the time, but they decided those last four games made a difference. At least Mike Holmgren did at that point, and kept Eric for another year because of it. And because of the last two games, I think there were Browns fans that had kind of flipped a little bit and maybe said, you know what? You just beat the Bengals. You beat the Steelers, who, by the way, are going to represent the AFC North in the playoffs.
But you know what? Though,
maybe hang on here a second.
The last two games shouldn't have any impact. We have a six-year sample size.
Okay.
You know, and here's the other aspect of it. This is what I don't get. And the way it was asked to Jimmy Haslam yesterday about the roster, and I believe it was our buddy Scott Petrak who asked it, Jimmy had a strange answer to it. And you know, it was like, well, the easy thing for me to do is to say, yes, the roster's good enough, so yes, the roster's good enough. If he had said no, well, then the question is, well, then why'd you keep Andrew Berry? You know,
so, he didn't have a choice. He had to answer yes there.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, it's like, well, then why'd you keep Andrew Berry?
Yeah.
And if the thinking is Kevin didn't do a good job in the last 2 years because they won only eight games, then what did Andrew Berry do in the last 2 years to help you?
Got a kicker.
To help you win more than eight games. And I I'd have kept Andrew. And I'd have kept Kevin. But I think the criteria is exactly the same. If you only won eight games, okay, that I don't think Kevin did a great job with what he was given. And I don't think Andrew did a great job of giving Kevin enough to work with. So I'm either keeping them both or I'm getting rid of both. And they chose to split it up. And I personally think that's the wrong move.
There was one other aspect that kind of came into play here today for me as I started thinking about this. And I was like, at what point did they know they were ready to turn the page? Now, if you ask me, I would have said,
that's a good question.
The minute that they traded Joe Flacco, and if Kevin wasn't 100% on board with that, that is where things went sideways. That is where they probably made the defining moment.
I wonder.
The other thing that came into my mind this morning, I know we haven't talked about this, is what did Paul DePodesta know? And do you think that what, because let's not forget, Kevin came in. And he was Paul's guy, right?
Well, is it a coincidence that Paul DePodesta isn't here, and now Kevin isn't either?
And I agree. And
is
I, and
that
maybe,
a coincidence?
I mean, is there a chance that maybe somewhere along the line, Paul's like, "Hey, man, I'm not real keen on where we're going with this thing. You know, Kevin's kind of my guy. We brought him in. Remember, I sat here for a year with Freddie Kitchens, and I told you that Kevin would be the guy. And what did Kevin do? Kevin did win Coach of the Year twice. He got you to the playoffs. I mean, things that hadn't happened since '99." All of this said, and I can sit here and make up a million excuses, and I can tell you that I think Kevin Stefanski probably should be the head coach still of this team, and if he gets a job within the next 10 days, that we're probably going to be sitting around here going, maybe Kevin did just get his master's here, and he really learned all the things that he didn't want to learn.
And we'll see.
And I'm okay with that.
And coaches get fired when they win three games and five games.
That is my point.
But so do GMs.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But my point here is that I was okay with Kevin being the head coach again next year, especially with Andrew staying. Like, if they're thought partners then, they should still be thought partners now. I thought Andrew was very sincere in his thoughts about Kevin the person yesterday while they were talking about,
great.
Moving. I understand. I'm just telling you how I feel.
No, I know.
So, but the other point to this, though, is the bottom line is, and I said this yesterday, if you're looking at the Browns from Mars, you see 8 wins, 2 seasons. It doesn't matter what the last name of the coach is. He's gone. He's lucky he survived last year.
Or the GM.
So why? Okay, let me ask you this. Why do you think Jimmy Haslam and the front office and the ownership group said, let's stick with Andrew? Why?
I don't know. And
can you make a case for sticking with him?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. And that is?
You've saddled him with Deshaun Watson. But wouldn't that same excuse work for Kevin Stefanski?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the point.
Andrew, you took away Andrew three first-round picks from him, or he took away three first-round picks himself.
6 picks total.
Yeah.
I get that.
And Houston's been in the playoffs every year since the deal.
And money and cap space, maneuverability, all that. I get that. But Andrew Berry said yesterday, I completely own the record the last 2 years. Well, you might own it, but it didn't cost you your job.
No, I mean, if you own it, does that mean you step down?
Cost the other guy's job.
No, and Jimmy Haslam owned it too. Jimmy said, this is on us.
Doesn't cost him his job.
No, it's not. I mean, it's easy for him to say this is on me.
Sure.
I still wonder, and I still think that the breaking point was Joe Flacco.
I disagree with you on that.
You can disagree. I think that's where it was.
Well, I know. You're allowed to.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing my opinion now.
Oh, good. Give me some of your opinion, Jeff Phelps.
I don't know when it
was. While I enjoy this delicious cup of coffee.
I don't know when it was.
That our friends on YouTube will watch me drink. Go ahead.
Now, see, is that frowned upon?
Well, let me just tell you this. Let me just give you a little
frowned upon?
Behind the scenes, too. Now that we're on YouTube and you can watch everything we're doing, I am guaranteed to lose 5 to 10 pounds.
That's good news.
Because I just don't want to eat on camera.
Nice.
Because because Keith will be all over me. Keith always made
fearless
fun of me.
Leader?
Fearless leader can't keep a clip because I decided that I wanted to eat sometimes while we're sitting here. And
Andy, what do you think about that?
It was good. No, now you'll see it. So let's enjoy our cup of coffee this morning, shall
Hi,
we?
Everybody.
Thank you.
Or he's just going to dip under the desk, eat under the desk, and then come back up and ask a question.
Have a little Joe with Baskin and Phelps.
Yeah, why don't we have a
let's get a coffee sponsor.
Yes!
I'm in!
Can we have a coffee sponsor?
Can we have any sponsors?
I still can't believe that one of the biggest coffee chains in America couldn't make it at Playhouse Square. To me, that blows me away. I know I'm on the rails.
Right? Okay.
So go back to Jimmy Haslam here and finish your thought.
See, you distracted me completely.
I'm sorry. Would you like me to buy you a cup of Joe to get you back on straight?
I don't think Andrew Berry's done a real good job here. You know, if you're looking at Kevin's 6-year body of work and you deem it not well enough, well, Kevin and Andrew have the same record. And I'm sorry, adding 4 guys in the draft who you think are building pieces, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Congratulations, you drafted a tight end who can play. By God,
well played.
That keeps you ahead of the coach. And I don't mean this in any smart guy way. I would have kept Andrew Berry, but I'd have kept Kevin. And I'd have given them both a year. Let's see if you can build on this. You're going to get the Deshaun contract off the books next year, and away you go. I would have kept them both. And I think to split them up and to judge one guy based on what happened the last 6 years, and the last 2 in particular, and not hold the other guy to the same criteria is a bad decision. And I don't think landing 4 guys who look like they can play in the draft is reason to make you think, wow, by God, he finally figured it out. Well, thank God he's had 6 drafts.
But the Jimmy Haslam didn't go to the draft. He went to the free agents.
He went to Collins and Andre Schmidt.
I found that interesting.
This is the team that gave Dustin Hopkins a great big contract and then cut him.
That's true, too.
So, you know, how many kickers have you missed on?
I mean, you're going to make mistakes, right? Well, I mean, you're bringing guys in. Andy, I understand again, that.
I'm finding myself not defending Andrew Berry, even though I said I would keep him. And I would.
I would have kept them. If I was defending Andrew Berry, though, I'd be sitting here, I'd be talking about, look, here's a guy that didn't have the opportunity to have three first-round picks, and I know there have been other picks out there, but you also did a pretty good job last year in putting it together. You had seven guys that you drafted last year that all started this past season, that all had significant time out on the field when you look across the board. And by the way, your first overall pick wasn't even the creme de la creme of this draft. It wasn't. Carson Schlesinger. To me, I mean, we'll go down that.
Well,
it's
1 year, but yes, yeah. He looks like a player.
That looks like the best pick that perhaps he's made, right? I don't know. Can we argue?
Since he's been here?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question.
Okay. So,
but it's one pick in
6 years.
I like Carson Schlesinger. Small sample size.
And I thought Harold Fannin's good, too.
But the guy can play.
I mean,
the guy can play. So can Harold. Harold can play. And
so can Quinchon.
Mason, yeah.
We'll see what the injury happens.
You could have gone out and gotten a running back about anywhere. But I like Quinchon, and I'm glad they took him. And I like Dylan Sampson.
But I think running backs come in two different levels, though, Jeff. I think Quinchon's in the Nick Chubb level, has the potential to be there.
We hope so.
And then the other guys are just kind of guys.
And the backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
And I don't know what Sampson's
going to
be.
And you drafted two quarterbacks, and you don't go into the 2026 not knowing if either one of them is even going to be on the team.
Is that fair when you draft a third one or a fifth rounder? Should you assume? No, I don't think you should.
Can I go basket on you?
Sure.
Well, then why'd you draft two?
I don't know, Jeff. I can tell you this.
And
the Browns are the most relevant non-playoff team in the NFL. They make picks and make trades that get headlines.
Can I give you one more?
Successful or not on the field, the Browns are relevant in the NFL, not necessarily because of victories or touchdowns or should be because of players like Myles Garrett, but they are always there for a headline based on a contract, based on Deshaun Watson, based on Shedeur Sanders. I mean, Sanders alone with his millions of followers on social media is going to bring attention to your team. Whether you think it's good or bad is up to you to decide, but you are relevant because the big pundits out there, the networks want to talk about Shedeur Sanders, which is great. It's great for the Browns, especially if it's positive. If it's positive, it's really good stuff. But we've also gone down this road with Deshaun Watson where we had to hear the nightly tales of lawyers going back and forth about things that were happening when we first got him. And then Baker Mayfield was a big name. But Johnny Manziel, I mean, I'm not trying to go backwards, but Manziel put the Browns on the map. He hates Cleveland now, and I'm pretty sure Cleveland hates him.
It's weird in hindsight that you drafted two guys who you kept your fingers crossed at quarterback. Because outside of the first round, you have to keep your fingers crossed and hope you get lucky. And they tried that twice. And so far haven't because they didn't commit to Shedeur and didn't play Dylan later on. So,
all right, we're 24 hours in now since the firing. My question for you then is, what are your thoughts now compared to the way they were maybe a day, or maybe you've had a chance to gather your thoughts on where the Browns are right now? And do you have a front runner for the job? Is there somebody you'd like to see get the job? We'll talk about that. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 11. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. 24 hours in, my friends, 24 hours in. What will the new-look Browns look like next year? Or maybe they won't be a new-look team at all. Maybe they'll be... they're going to be a new look team. They're going to have to. They're going to have to rebuild the offense, as they said yesterday. Defensively, though, they could look the same. I don't know.
It's similar.
As we sit here and digest what we've seen, any other thoughts yesterday? I mean, I told you my Di Podesta thought, which kind of hit me over the last 24 hours. Like, I wonder if he knew what was going on. And when the opportunity came up for him to go to Denver, he went to Denver and play, being a main player for the Rockies now. Maybe that was his dream to go back to baseball, too.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just speculating on some of that stuff.
Or maybe he's the guy who just kept saying, nope, Kevin's the guy. And he wasn't there anymore. So Kevin's not the guy.
So on the scapegoat scale, where do we think Kevin is on this?
He's the scapegoat.
He is the scapegoat. Yeah. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah.
I wrote that this morning, too, and I said the same thing. Well, I said the same thing. It's the NFL, and if you don't win, something's going to have to happen. Well, if owners can say it's my fault, it's my fault.
That, right?
It's all fault. I think so, too.
We all understand that.
And 6 years is kind of a long run, isn't it?
But
wasn't LeBron's first run here? What did
seven?
What did the commissioner say, though?
You had 7 years. That's the way it works, right?
That was the worst feeling in the world.
That's what Shedeur said. Hey, that's the way the league works.
He's right.
He was torn up.
He was torn up? I didn't see the emotion.
Yeah, I know.
I think you had more emotion just now than he did.
Tongue in cheek,
Andy. That was after the game on Sunday. All right, we want to hear from you today as well. 216-474-0092. Let's start off things off this morning. We're going to talk to Tony, Columbia Station. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hello, Tony. Home of Trent Richardson back in the day.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Very good. How are you, gentlemen?
We are good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. My thoughts on the past 12 months, all the events, to me, it suggests that at the end of last year, you know, Jimmy might have went to Paul and said, hey, you're out. You're going to advise Andrew on this upcoming draft. He's in control. Andrew, this is your tryout. You haven't had much control. Paul's had so much influence upon all this, and we're going to really step away from that and see what you can do. And that kind of makes sense to me in regards to them retaining Andrew and moving on from Kevin. What do you think?
Possible.
Yeah, I mean, every theory seems good right now. I'm not buying. I don't know. I think Dee Podesta was more than just a football guy for the Haslam Sports Group. I think they appreciated him and they leaned on him for more than that. I mean, obviously, Paul has done much more in his life than just baseball or football. And you know, if you were financially set off and you were trying to figure out how to go in the right direction, I think Paul's the perfect guy to have around. And I don't think that there were any issues with that. I think a lot of times we get caught up in the fact we're like, he's not a football guy, although he played college football. And we got caught up in a lot of things.
The sports thing, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was just
if you're a good sports manager, you can handle
it. We've
seen it with other guys in other sports.
I mean, 6 years is a good run, especially for anything we do right now. How many times do you know folks that are...
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're flipping jobs.
Well, that's a long deal.
Yeah, and so I think it just happens. I'm looking forward to seeing how Kevin does somewhere else. I just hope it doesn't come at the expense of the Browns. But I think he'll have success somewhere where he goes somewhere else. And it's not because I think it's because he will have learned things in Cleveland. And that he won't do those things again. I do think, and I know we laugh about Coach Kevigan, and a lot of people thought he was a dud in press conferences. If I was a player, I would love him. He didn't throw anybody under the bus ever. Never. Yeah. I mean, who knows? He might have been really mad when they traded Joe, or he might have been really mad when something happened here, or something happened there, or a player did this or that.
When they brought in Deshaun.
Yeah, or when they brought in Deshaun. But he never... He never let you never go down
company,
that road.
Never broke company line.
No, and even when you look back at the last couple of weeks, these press conferences have been like, hey, Kevin, this might be the last time I get to ask you this question, blah, 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 blah. He was smooth as ice.
Cold as ice.
Cold as ice, but just smooth.
Smooth as silk.
But it's still kind of smooth when an ice cube flows across the table. That's smooth.
Can I give you something fun to
sure.
look forward to?
I don't. We haven't really had a lot of fun the last
this
24
hours. This could be fun.
Okay.
There are six teams currently looking for a head coach, correct?
Correct.
Let's take the Browns out of it.
Okay.
So that means there are five teams other than the Browns looking for a head coach, right?
Yes.
The Browns play four of them next year.
Are you serious?
Yes. They're home against Atlanta. They're home against Las Vegas. And they're on the road against the New York Giants, where Kevin is rumored to be a top candidate, and Tennessee, where Kevin is reportedly interviewing on Saturday.
I could see the Browns Giants.
Oh, yeah, baby.
If Kevin ends up in New York, could you not?
And Brian Daboll's the new offensive coordinator here.
Okay. Or you hire somebody else here that's kind of a name.
Oh, who knows?
Could you not see them being the week one Sunday nighter?
Chances are, if Kevin gets a job, so what job is open that the Arizona Cardinal job? They don't play Arizona next year. Unless if Kevin gets a job and it's not Arizona, the Browns will play Kevin Stefanski's new team next year.
If you go by winning percentage, the Browns have the easiest schedule in football next year. If you go by opponent winning percentage.
Well, guess what? That'll help.
Let's go to Jeff, who's in Idaho. Idaho, Big Sky Conference.
How fun
Montana State, the 1AA, I'll call 1AA national champions. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, doing well, guys. Just wanted to call in and get my perspective on how no coach, or at least qualified coach, is going to want to come with Barry as the GM. I don't think they want to be tied to Barry, given the fact that he might be on a short leash himself. And, you know, if that coach in his right mind is going to come in, he could be let go when Barry gets let go in a year or two.
It's a good point. I think a lot of people have thought of that over the last 24 hours.
If he gets
hours.
Let go. If he gets,
but what if it works? Then he's going to be here for a while, and you're tied to the general manager. The other part of the conversation is it's one of 32, right? And if someone's going to give you the opportunity to be a head coach, you got to take it. Where in Idaho are you, Jeff?
Outside Boise area.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. All right, don't dive onto the turf the way that fake Sports Illustrated story was telling people. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, enjoy listening to you guys. Born and raised in Cleveland, so go Cavs.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Who do you like? Is there somebody you want for this job?
Well, if you eliminate John Gruden, because John's name hasn't been thrown out a whole lot for any of these things, I think Gruden's interesting, but I haven't seen his name out with anybody. The most successful coach who's available right now, the guy with the best track record, is Mike McCarthy. Okay. The guy with the second best track record is Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
So if you want to make what looks like a surefire, we know this guy knows how to be a head coach and has done it successfully, Mike McCarthy's your guy. I think Brian Flores is a really interesting candidate.
Okay.
But he hasn't had the success that...
Well, the lawsuit doesn't help any. But I'm going to be honest with you.
But he's going to get hired. He's the leading candidate right now in Vegas, according to Pro Football.
Let me throw this at you. And this is the one thing. This is my Jeff Phelps one thing.
Oh, good.
So that the Browns are not scared to ruffle feathers. We saw that with Deshaun. We've seen that with Johnny Manziel. They were the team that picked Shador after everybody passed on him, four rounds plus. So why would it matter if Gruden has had problems with the league or Flores has had problems with the league? Like, to me, the Browns are the team that would be willing to step out there and give those guys an opportunity. It's if you want either one of those guys, then you should be thankful for Browns ownership, because they don't care. They don't care that they gave Deshaun Watson that contract knowing that the entire league was going to hate them for resetting the stage on quarterback contract. They didn't care. They took Johnny Manziel when other teams were looking the other way, going, you are in for a big mistake. Were the other teams right? You bet they were. But the Browns took a chance. They're not scared to do something controversial. And so if you think that Flores is controversial, or I shouldn't say you, if the league thinks that, they don't care. And that actually makes me like the front office. If you think that Flores or Gruden is the top candidate for this job and would make you happy and would make this team a winner. As Jeff shows me,
my buddy
John
Jeff
Gruden's trading card
just sent me a text picture of John Gruden wearing a Browns visor and a Browns shirt. I'd love to see John Gruden.
I'm good with it. You know, there's
He'd
a couple of Ohio between like
and he if, can coach.
I mean, are and the Ravens going to make a move?
McCarthy can coach. Dan, sorry. McCarthy went to Dallas.
Dan, kill him. You hate this. You hate the thought of this conversation.
I just don't think that's the move that you want to make. If you were sitting there screaming about how Kevin Stefanski's offense wasn't modern enough, here comes Mike McCarthy.
All right, but let me throw this.
The thing I like about McCarthy is that they could probably keep Schwartz if they.
Yeah, he'll get you that. He could drop a Super Bowl ring on the table if that's what
maybe.
You like.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well,
he could maybe
work for LeBron.
Remember, they hired Doc Rivers in Milwaukee for the Bucks.
That's true.
Longtime veteran coach who had one title.
It's fair.
Also, one team has Giannis and the other one doesn't have a Giannis equivalent at quarterback.
Yes, we do. We have Shador.
Right.
here's the thought, though. If they don't hire Mike McCarthy, if they don't hire John Gruden, then what are you hiring? You're hiring a coach, keeping your fingers crossed, that he'll be better his second time around as a head coach.
Well, isn't Jim...
Hold on.
Okay.
That includes Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
Or Robert Saleh or Brian Flores or any of these other guys who have been out there and canned after one go-round as a head coach. You're hoping that they're better. Jim Schwartz had a really nice season in Detroit, but he was there for five. Doesn't mean he couldn't be phenomenal here. He could be. But you're keeping your fingers crossed that somebody you hire who's already had head coaching experience is better the second time around, Matt Nagy. sure. somebody like that, or that you get lucky and nail the coordinator du jour or the assistant coach du jour, and he becomes the next big thing. You trust this search committee to find that guy, Andy?
I would like to know. I know the question was asked yesterday. Who is on the search committee?
Andrew Berry.
Does it? I mean, he's the
ownership.
Jimmy D, JW, and Andrew.
Well, apparently, they've had Tom Telesco, the former GM of the Chargers.
Oh yeah,
and Raiders for a year. John Carroll grad.
Yep.
And Chris Greer, GM of the Dolphins. There have been reports that the Browns have been chatting with them for a
that's true. That's the last couple weeks.
Maybe they bring them in as a consultant in the coaching search. But if you're, you're Andrew Berry, you want an unemployed GM helping you out? Think about that. Hi, you do the same thing I do. Gosh, thanks for your input. Glad you have Jimmy's ear.
How do you feel about that lamp in the corner of your office over there? Yeah, I don't like it.
Can keep that. Can we repaint this office now for you, Andrew? Because my wife likes yellow.
That's the wrong color in that building. You can't do that. You can do orange. You can do brown. White. That's about it. You can put a stripe through the middle of your room, too, if you want to. You could do beige. But if you're redoing that, you're not using yellow. I can guarantee you that. All right. So we're kind of diving into this again. 24 hours later, what do you think of the move? You know, to fire Kevin and to keep Andrew. And the next question is who do you want? Is there somebody that stands out that would be good as the next head coach? I still haven't really made my case here. I know who if it was up to me today, I know exactly who I would hire. And it's a no-brainer if it was today. If it was today. But they shouldn't be in a hurry to be hiring somebody today. They should do some due diligence.
Unless he wants to go somewhere else and be a defensive coordinator.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. We'll see if the Schwartz is with us. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Who you like? Who do you want to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns? Pretty simple, easy question, I think. I think as we walk 24 hours into this situation, I want Jim Schwartz. If it was today, I'd be good with Jim Schwartz. Look, he went to Detroit, and you think back to him being a head coach. He rebuilt things that were going on there. They wanted a little bit more, and it didn't happen. But Jim, like we've said with Kevin, or I've said with Kevin, I think that Kevin maybe got his master's here and is able to move on, and we'll see what happens. If he's good, he's good. If he's not, okay, then you know they were right. They should have let him go because things didn't work. I mean, there were plenty of play calls that drove me crazy. I'm not going to lie. There were things that drove me nuts, but every coach that I've ever watched on any team in every sport has done something that's probably driven someone crazy or drives me crazy. I drive myself crazy when I coach sometimes because I sit back and go, you're an idiot. Why did you do that? And I get it. Oh, the kids are saying that about me? What are you hearing?
You're not reading social media?
No, I'm not. Good. Am I getting killed on social media?
No.
I'm not. My team is sometimes.
There's one question here that I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Berry was in Philadelphia for 1 year. He was with the Browns. He went to Philadelphia in 2019. And the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles at that time was Jim Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Woods was the original DC for Kevin Stefanski.
Right.
Joe got let go. In 2023, the Browns hired Jim Schwartz.
Right.
Was Jim a Kevin Stefanski hire or was he an Andrew Berry hire?
You'd have to think part of that would be an Andrew Berry hire.
Or was he both? And if he was more of a...
Thought partners, Jeff, just like you and I when we answered that question.
Yeah, yeah. If Berry said, hey, here's your guy, and Kevin said, you know what, that's a great idea. Maybe Jim Schwartz has a leg up in this thing. You know, how much does Andrew Berry like Jim Schwartz? Did he like him enough to bring him to Cleveland as defensive coordinator? Or was that Andrew Berry? Who went up against him when he was in Minnesota and Schwartz was in Detroit? Or was it Andrew Berry saying, here's your guy? And Paul DePodesta saying, sure, the numbers say yes. It'll be interesting to find that out if we ever do. You know, if Berry was instrumental in Schwartz coming to Cleveland, I think he has a real fine chance to be the new head coach.
Well, here's another thing. If you think Barry, if you think Schwartz is going to become the next head coach, and you think that Barry was instrumental in bringing Schwartz here, then do you not give Barry credit for that? And you can kind of see why Barry has a job and Kevin doesn't.
No.
Or are we past that?
Yeah, we're past that.
Okay.
You know, there are two reasons I give Jim Schwartz credit. He's a good coach, and Andrew Barry sunk most of his assets into the defensive side of the ball.
I think the players like him, too.
Well, good.
But I mean, I think
players
that matters.
Like Kevin Stefanski, too. Ask Denzel Ward, ask Joe Bitonio.
Ask Denzel if he likes Schwartz. I don't
Absolutely.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't really matter.
Ask Miles if he likes.
Can I?
It does with Miles.
Can I cut through some stuff?
Sure.
I don't think it matters.
I think it does. I think it does.
You know,
Well, here's why I think so.
I love Miles Garrett.
Yeah.
They won 5 games with Miles setting a new sack record.
I get it.
So my idea of trying to make Miles happy, great, we paid you. Let's see who we get as the head coach. If you don't like it here, you can ask for a trade again. I don't want Miles going anywhere. I want him to retire a Brown.
Right, so how much influence does a player have?
He's played, what, 9 years?
I mean, outside of maybe, are we saying outside of LeBron James, players don't have influence?
No, I'm not saying they don't, but it's a very, very different comparison. Because one football player, unless he's perhaps the quarterback, won't win you a title. In the NBA, one player will win you a title. You put pieces around him and away you go. Ask Milwaukee. They had Giannis. They won a title.
Right.
Ask the Cavs. They had LeBron. They won a title.
Well, they also had Kyrie. I mean, there were other things.
Yeah, I know, but you're not going to win if LeBron's not here.
Well, that's true. That's true. But you might not have won if Kyrie wasn't here either.
Maybe.
We saw LeBron without Kyrie.
I'll take my chances with LeBron.
In that year, those 2 years? I don't
know. Yeah, but you get my point.
I get it. But I also think that LeBron.
One player pales in comparison to one basketball player.
I understand that, but I also think that there are players that have influence. And if Miles said, "Hey, I'm coming back. We'll do this. You know, I don't really want to be here. I don't think you're doing the right things, but financially, I think you've made it, my eyes open up, and you made me an offer I can't refuse, and I want to be back. And now look what I was able to do this year. You know, with the right guys around him, and you know, even Jimmy has him saying, "Hey, look who Andrew brought in on defense. You know, this makes a difference." And so that's why he's here for another year. I understand and get all of those things, but I also think that Miles has enough power that if he could say, "Hey, look, it's time to change," and the head coaches, because there weren't enough ups as there were downs, that maybe we should be switching. The same way LeBron James would say, "Hey, we got a head coach."
I don't know if Miles
Hang on.
That power.
I think Miles has more power than anybody else on the team.
Well, that's not saying much.
Why wouldn't that be saying much? If he's got enough power to say to Jimmy Haslam, "Hey, look, you know, I'm the reason I've got a billboard that I see Jimmy, that I see when I drive into work every day that says Miles Above, brought to you by the Browns." I mean, he does carry that kind of weight.
Okay. Well, you're marketing your star player, so that's smart. I hope Miles finishes his career here, and I hope he plays another 6. That said, I don't think it's the same as, you know, the NBA where one guy wields power. And if I'm Andrew Barry and if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'll take into account what the players feel about a guy like Jim Schwartz. But that's not going to be my deciding factor. Players change, Andy. Take a look at how the rosters change.
I agree. You're lucky if you're on a roster for 3 years. Yeah. You are. Kevin, Cuyahoga Falls. Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good. Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 11 for everybody.
Okay, I'll make it as quick as I can.
No, you have plenty of time. Just remind
me. First, dumb coaching calls, and then my Browns take. Dumb coaching call. You're on the 3-yard line. It's the Super Bowl. 30 seconds left. You got a guy called Beast Mode, the greatest running back in his prime, and you throw the ball. Really? Wow. I mean, talk about idiot coach moves. I mean, there's 1,000 of them out there you can point to, and that's probably the worst of them all, you know? In regards to the Browns, I really think this is a huge power move. I was saying I think Paul D getting let go earlier in the season was a huge indicator of it, and Stefanski going.
Do you think he got let go, or you think he walked? I think he walked.
We'll never know, Andy. I think I think it was probably a power struggle, and you're right. Probably, you know, heads got dashed, and one guy said, "I think this is my guy," and the other one said, "I think that's my guy," and Haslam decided. AB's voice was stronger and better than the other guys. And so clearly, you know, Haslam's going with AB and saying, "You're my guy and I'm going to listen to you and I'm not going to listen to the other guys." and now you're gone out of the building because AB's now my guy. So I think there was some kind of power struggle. Maybe it was the massage Watson deal. I don't know. I mean, we don't know for sure because they don't tell us any of this stuff. But yeah, I think there was a conflict in the building, and I think we see who the winner is. Clearly, AB's the winner. So I think the indicator of that will be who they hire as the coach. And Jeff, you kind of stole my thunder. I think if they make Schwartz the coach, I think that's going to be a huge indicator that this is AB's team. He's got the reins. He's running it moving forward. Because I do think, you know, obviously they don't tell us a lot. We just have to guess based on the moves they do and what little they say. That, yeah, I think Schwartz was AB's guy from probably the get-go. And if I think they move him up, I think it's a huge indicator that's AB's team moving forward. That's just it. And he's going to make all the calls moving forward. So if you ask my guy, I think there's a guy from Arizona named Jonathan that maybe is a Cleveland guy. That'd be great. I'd love to see him. But, you know, we'll see what they do with it. So.
All right. You'd like to see him as a head coach or as a defensive coordinator?
No, I would see the head coach. I think he got completely shafted in Arizona. What, at one point, what, they had 23 or 24 of their starters on IR?
Yeah, they really get beat up.
He got killed. His roster was just decimated. He
Marvin
had nobody
Harrison
left.
Was hurt. James Conner, Trey Benson, Kyler Murray.
List is as long as your arm of the guys that hit the IR that season. And all key players, too. We're not talking like punt returns. We're talking starters on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. So I think that was a team riddled by injury that he just took the shaft. You know, someone had to get blamed. Unfortunately, Coach Jonathan got blamed. And I think from what little he had and what little he had to work with, I thought he did a really good job. I wouldn't mind seeing him as our coach.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. That's the first call we've had today to say, hey, maybe you should grab him.
You want to see something funny? Google his initial meeting with the players, because there was video of Jonathan following, seeing his players, and it was Moore, the wide receiver, and he went up and introduced himself to Moore, and then he put his hands up in the air and he went like, whew, 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 whew. And he went explosives, right? Explosive plays. It's like, oh my God. It's like Tom Pritchard in the Progressive commercial.
You might be my favorite guy.
How are you doing, Tom Pritchard? Good to see you. Also, round of jalapeno poppers for me and the boys.
Oh,
keep in mind with Jonathan Gannon, worked with Kevin Stefanski when he was with the Vikings. Yep. Also hired Browns tight end coach at the time, Drew Petzing, to come in as his OC. So
Philadelphia background also.
So if he interviews for this gig, you're pretty sure he's going to be calling Kevin Stefanski going, hey, how was your time?
What'd you think?
How'd they make the hot dogs? That's the problem I have for Schwartz. Like, and you said this 2 days ago, Jeff, or maybe last week, that, you know, maybe Schwartz doesn't want the gig. Is that a possibility?
Yeah. What Jim's is a head coach now? Yeah,
Jim's at a point in his career where does he want another chance at it? I've read yes. But, you know, he's at a point in his career, he's making big money. He's a defensive coordinator. He's got a good defense. Could go somewhere else and be a defensive coordinator. Or could just kick back and say, you know what? I got a degree in economics from Georgetown. And my bank account says I'm good. Thanks.
Kevin Stefanski taught us a lot.
Does he have to be smooth when he's, and I'm good.
A lot of stuff this year. And one of them is, one of the biggest things of being a head coach is that you are the PR guy. And you need to go out there and you need to take the heat and you need to sell this stuff. Good. I don't know if Jim Schwartz wants to go out there, take the heat and sell this stuff, or if he just prefers doing story time with Jim Schwartz.
I like story time with Jim Schwartz. Would you be okay then? Would you stop knocking these press conferences if Schwartz gets the gig?
Oh, I don't think he's going to take it.
I'm just saying, if he got the gig, would you be okay with running his press conferences?
I would not hire
you him. Hate press conferences, so that's
yes,
how much
I hate them. I would not hire Jim Schwartz as the head coach. There's no way.
Could you go from three thought partners who were all Ivy Leaguers to an Ivy Leaguer and a Georgetown guy?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know, Andy. I don't know.
The Mensa
meeting is going to be down one.
Is Coach Kevigan going to have one final press conference?
I mean, if we need to, we could get him in a room.
You know when he's going to be here? When he gets hired in Atlanta. Then we're going to hear from Kevigan.
I don't know. I think Coach Kevigan needs that. I think there's some questions for him.
Or with the Giants.
He may have to answer questions in the next hour. Mary Kay Cabot definitely will answer questions. She is coming up next right here. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.